I am Piero Lumumba here at the Swara Acacia Conservancy in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya. And today we discuss a subject which is as contentious as it is significant. The question of the war in Sudan and the involvement of many external forces. Those forces include the Ukrainians, include the Russians, some say even the Emiratis, and other proxy forces. And of course, the involvement of those countries not only in Sudan, but in other parts of Africa. And it's important to warn ourselves that in times such as these and in matters such as these, there are accusations and counter-accusations which must be understood in context. And the context that I want to bring, particularly with regard to the war in Sudan, is that there is a history to it. When Sudan regained her independence and when Sudan was seen as a country that was Arab in its orientation, with a significant African population, Sudan was never at ease. Those who are in the closed districts in the south agitated for a long time, which culminated in the independence of South Sudan in the year 2011 after many wars, the Anyanya Wars. And it is also important that after South Sudan regained independence, there has been conflict in that part of the world, in the Nuba Mountains, in the Blue Niles, and in the Darfur region. But the most recent of the conflicts, and indeed even before that, during the Darfur War, it was actually confirmed that the administration of Omar al-Bashir was sponsoring Arab groups known as the Janjaweed to attack the people in Darfur. It is the Janjaweeds that have now morphed into the RSF, which has invaded the government of Sudan led by Al-Burhan and Hemeti himself, who was part of the Sudanese army but is now seen as the leader of the RSF. And this is where the accusations are coming in. Number one, that arms have been coming from Ukraine, and not only Ukraine, in other parts of the former Soviet Union. There are even claims that there have been boots on the ground, and there have been claims that there has been a recruitment of individuals from the Sahelian region. And when the conflict between Russia and Ukraine started, one of the things that came to the fore was the contestation between Russia and the West. In the 1990s, undertakings were given to the Russians that NATO would not expand to the East. And when the NATO countries started expanding to the East with the apparent enticement of the Kiev government to join the European Union, then the contestations acquired a totally different character. That context is important for us to appreciate in order to understand what is now being characterized as the involvement of Ukraine and even Russia in the African continent. The most important thing that happened recently in 2024 is when the government of Mali accused Ukraine directly that they were supporting insurgencies in Mali and that they were being used to fight a proxy war in Russia. And I remember that the ambassador of Ukraine was actually summoned in Bamako by the administration of Atimi Goita, and they were told that if you don't stop participating in the insurgency in Mali, then we are going to expel you and going to sever diplomatic ties. And there are quite a number of accusations in this regard, and it must be understood once again in context. The Russian involvement in many of these conflicts is seen to be a little different from the involvement of Ukraine, seen to be different in this regard. It is the government of the Central African Republic, for example, that invited the Wagner Group because they were insurgencies that were sponsored by multiple parties, including the French. It is also the case that in countries such as Burkina Faso and even in Niger, once the Americans had been expelled, it is this administration that invited the Russian administration or the Russian army to offer both training and support. So the presence of Russia, as opposed to the presence of Ukraine, is seen and explained differently. But as it is in matters of this nature, there'll always be different arguments by both sides of the divide. Let us first examine the presence of Russia, then we come to the presence of Ukraine in the continent of Africa, and particularly in the convoluted conflict in Sudan. Number one, as we have said and said time and time again, Russia, then under the Soviet Union, was not your typical colonizer. And in the recent past, after the collapse of the Berlin Wall, there has been what is described as Russian soft power. And this Russian soft power has been seen as a counterweight to the traditional power of the Western countries, which retained their military bases in the continent of Africa, the French with their military bases in different parts of their colonies, the Americans, of course, expressing their power through different multinational agencies. And Russia was not, in many of these cases, a participant in the intimate way that the Western powers were. And it is in this regard, therefore, that when regimes which gained power through what under the Malabo Protocol is called unconstitutional changes of power, that they were inviting the Russians to protect them. This invitation has been seen, as I've already indicated, in Central African Republic, in Bangui, the Bangui administration. We have seen this invitation in the government in Niamey, in Niger. And sometimes this happens, particularly in Niamey, when they seized the uranium mines and the French were ordered out and Western forces were ordered out. The Niamey administration in Niger said, we don't have the capacity. Therefore, we are inviting a friendly power to train us and to offer us a temporary protection as we protect our mines. So the Russian presence is seen in that regard. Of course, a little earlier when the Wagner Group were operating as an independent entity, they were seen to be almost in the nature of mercenaries. But with the death of their leader and the rationalization of their participation and their renaming as the African Corps, it is seen as a beachhead for the Russian administration to try and engage these particular countries. And it is not lost on me that the Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov has been in those countries quite a bit with a view to explaining and deepening that relationship. Conversely, Ukraine is not a power in the manner that Russia is. And indeed, one can say that even during the Soviet era, whenever one wanted to talk about the Soviet Union, the other name for the Soviet Union was Russia. So in the minds of many people, whenever you talked about the Soviet Union, you could as well even say Russia. And therefore, Russia stuck in people's mind in that regard. And when Ukraine, therefore, is involving itself in the affairs of any African country, is seen as fighting a proxy war on behalf of the Western world. And the reason is very simple. Even in this war that is going on in and the United States of America is involved, the Western countries are involved, it is seen that Ukraine is actually a theater for a war that is being prosecuted by NATO against Russia. That being the case, even if there is a whiff of their presence in any country in Africa, it is frowned upon. They are seen as acting on at the behest of the neo-colonizers, and their involvement is not welcome. And that is the context in which we must understand this resentment. We have seen in the recent past, I think in the year 2023, the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, entertained quite a number of African leaders, and some of the resolutions that came out of those meetings was that the many African countries do actually support Russia in this war. Whether it is right or not is another debate, but Africans are saying, you have stood with us in times of difficulty. We know that the fight you are engaged in is not your fight. It is a fight that is being prosecuted to decimate you and to control the world. We are therefore cast our lot with you. That is the position. But let us come to Sudan. The Sudan conflict is a very convoluted conflict. Convoluted in the sense that at a certain stage in the life of Sudan, during the administration of Omar al-Bashir, there was what was called the Arabization of Islam. So that when you are talking about Islam, it was not simply that you are a follower of the religion, but you are also Arabized. The imposition of Arabic as a language. And there were Arab ideologues like Hassan al-Turabi, who are the intellectual weight and thinkers behind Omar al-Bashir. And when the Janjaweed of Hemeti were then seen to be using their firepower against the dark-skinned people in Darfur, that gave the war in Sudan a totally different character. And the net effect, therefore, is you have claims of Libyans being in the space. You have claims of Americans through certain support being in the space. You have claims of Ukrainians being in the space. And we know that RSF has been recruiting young people across the Sahel from as far as Chad, from as far as Niger. These are mercenaries who are prosecuting the war against the Burhan government. And that is why it has not been easy to resolve this conflict. We know, for example, there was an attempt by IGAD to resolve this particular conflict, but the Burhan government rejected the appointment of the Kenyan president on the ground that he was partisan. And we also know that there has been an attempt at resolution of this conflict in Jeddah, in Saudi Arabia, with the Saudis and the Americans playing the leading role. The Russians have been muted in this particular matter of resolution, but the conflict is continuing apace. And only in the last few days, there was an attempt to involve President Isaias Afwerki of Eritrea on the understanding that he does have some kind of connection with both Hemeti and Burhan. All these are happening at a time when there is great confusion. And of course, the names of Russia and the names of Ukraine will always be there, because the Ukrainians, if they don't have boots on the ground, are also seen as conduits of weapons, particularly when you have the AK-47 in the mix. We always look to that part of the world as the suppliers of the AK-47. So the situation is an interesting one, that you have players in the continent of Africa. Africa is once again a theater of conflict. Russia expressing herself through soft power. In certain cases, even being allowed to establish military bases. In certain cases, even being invited to take over the bases that have been abandoned by the West. Whether that is a good or bad thing, the jury is still out. But I hold the view that the relationship between African countries and Russia must be defined. It must be a relationship that is not one of dominance, but is one of collaboration. And as concerns Ukraine, I hold the view that until now, I have not seen evidence that they have been invited by any African country to participate, and their participation is seen as one that has been procured by the neo-colonizers. And that is an unfortunate thing, and what one should see come only when you are invited. The discussion on issues touching on the continent of Africa never end. We continue with that discussion, but let us now say our bye-byes as we prepare to come back again to continue the conversation. Thank you very much, and see you.